Good morning.
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 Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, okay, there we go. All right, now how awkward did that make you feel? Be honest, how many of you just in those, that was probably what, like 15 seconds? How many of you in those 15 seconds were already going, why'd they let the student pastor speak? He can't even figure out the microphone. The reason I do that today is I want to get you in touch with what is certainly present in myself, and I think in all of us, which is a level of impatience. All of us are very capable of losing patience very quickly, especially in situations like that where you already kind of know the drill. You know, hey, we play the video, the pastor walks out, the video finishes, and he says, good morning, and we're off. And so you can get easily thrown off by things like that, and I can too. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about patience. We've been in this series, God Through You. Been looking at the different fruits of the Holy Spirit. We looked at love and joy and peace so far. And today we arrive at patience. Are you ready? Are you excited? I'll admit, I was like nervously excited when I got the opportunity to talk about patience. Let me just go ahead and tell you kind of where I'm coming from, because I want you to realize that we're a lot alike in this. If you don't know me that well, I have two children. Their names are Caitlin and Oliver. They are 8 and 4. My son Oliver just turned 4. So I just want you to know, as we start to talk about patience, that I am as much in need of this message as you are. If you've ever had an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. My son is very, very, very independently spirited at this particular age. He wants to do everything for himself, including cut things with knives. And he likes to climb up and get the cup for himself that's above my head. He wants to climb up on the counter and then stand on the counter and open the door, and there's no room. He's incredibly independent and a major source of testing in the area of patience in my own life. So as we go into this today, please hear this from a spirit of, I need this too. I get my patience tested regularly. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. And what I want to do is take us through a couple of things. I want to look at some scripture. I want to give you some definitions, some types of patience I feel like we need. And then we're going to land with what I think God really wants to show us and how we can find what we're looking for in terms of being helped and doing better in the area of patience. If you've got your Bible, I want you to go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to look at a story there, give you a little bit of background. We're going to look at the story of Israel's first king, King Saul. And so Saul is this guy. Israel has been demanding that they have a king. It was this period of history where the people of Israel had had these prophets and judges over them. And they'd been looking at other nations who had these kings ruling for them. And they were like, we want a king. And so the Lord eventually relents and says, okay, fine. You want a king? I will give you a king. And Samuel the prophet anoints Saul to be the first king of Israel. And Saul is this tall, handsome-looking guy. He's great in battle, nothing like me. He's amazing, at least on the external. Everybody thinks he's going to be fantastic. But if you know any of the story of the Old Testament, Saul ends up failing. And in one of the areas that I think Saul really kind of blew it is in the area of patience, which is what we're going to see today. The people of Israel have gone out and they're preparing for a battle against the Philistines. And that's where we pick up the scripture here in verse 8. It says this, he waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me, and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Has that ever happened to you? Like you're waiting, and then you just go ahead and do the thing yourself, and immediately the person you're waiting on shows up. It's crazy how that happens. That's what happens to Saul. Immediately Samuel shows up. He went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Mishmash. That's an interesting interesting sounding place. I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. So Saul is in this position and he knows what he's supposed to do. He knows he's supposed to wait for Samuel to show up. Samuel's going to make the offering and prepare them for battle. And so he waits and he waits the appointed time. The appointed time comes. Samuel's not showed up. Saul gets impatient. He gets in a hurry. He notices the people are starting to scatter. They're getting a little nervous. And so instead of waiting, as he knew that he should, instead of being patient, instead of trusting in the Lord, he forces himself and he goes ahead and he makes the offering. And as we see in that passage, now your kingdom shall not continue. It's to really bad consequences that Saul has this impatience. I want to show you a couple of definitions. As we consider this word, patience, the dictionary defines patience this way. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. So I love that phrase, the capacity. So capacity is kind of like what you can hold. You know, a jug has a certain capacity for how much water it can hold. Patience is my capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Okay, that's the dictionary definition. I also thought it was fun to dig into what is the biblical definition? God is described as patient. And so when the Bible describes God as patient, what is it saying about God? That definition is this. The biblical definition of patience is a God-exercised or God-given restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. Notice this one's different. The beginning, particularly, a God-exercised or God-given. It's not something I muster up. It's not something I create for myself. It's something that God gives me or he exercises himself. So because I'm a nerd and I like to play with words and I like to play with definitions, I thought it applicable to kind of combine these because I'm probably not going to have the God-given one, like the full-blown, like, this is the way God does patience. But the dictionary one seemed a little stale to me, so I put them together, and this is one I like. A God-given capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering with joy and peace. See, this brings in some of what we've talked about already, right? We've talked about joy. And we already said, we talked about joy, that joy is not happiness. And you see that here. Because we're talking about in the face of delay and trouble and suffering. Patience is my God-given capacity to accept it with joy. And we talked about peace 2 weeks ago, the last time we were in this series. I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. When you're impatient, when you're feeling that, that anxiety of, man, this needs to go, this needs to hurry, that is a complete lack of peace. And so this is, I think, what we're after. Do you want this? Okay, I want this. There are many, many, many days where I come home and I'm hanging out with my two children and I'm like, God, I need some capacity to accept delay. It's hard to call my children trouble or suffering. That's probably a little overdramatic. But I need some help tolerating this and finding joy and peace in the midst of it. Why can't my 4-year-old act like a 30-year-old? That's all I want. I need help. So with that definition, I want to talk about a few areas because I think when we hear the term patience, many of us, our heads probably go in a lot of different directions because we all come from different walks of life. We're all dealing with different circumstances, different issues right now. So I want to try to break this down a little bit for you. For many of you, I think when I say patience, your head probably goes to what I would call everyday patience. Okay? Everyday patience is the stuff that you and I face every single day. We can't really get around it. It just is kind of the fact of life, and there are things that require patience. For example, you probably drive, and you probably end up stuck at red lights. So you probably have to sit there. I will say, I'm kind of in this in-between generation. I'm 33 today, actually. So I'm kind of in between the, like, super cell phone generation that grew up with them. I remember bag phones in the car. that my parents had. I didn't get my first cell phone until I was going to college, okay? So that's the generation I come from. Red lights for us, admittedly, are a lot easier now because we just look at our phone. And then when somebody is kind enough behind me to beep their horn and let me know that the lights turn green, and then I can go. So being patient at a red light is perhaps not as difficult for me, but it's probably tough for the people behind me. You also deal with drive-thrus. John mentioned just recently the Starbucks line. I need my coffee. How long does it? See, I get impatient because I drink black coffee. It's real simple. It's done. Okay, so I get impatient waiting in line behind the people with the triple grande soy non-fat three whatever Frappuccino thing that is you're drinking. I'm like, just give me my real coffee and let me get through the line.
Amen.
Somebody agrees. Or perhaps maybe you gotta go to the DMV and you gotta get your license renewed, or you gotta get the tag. Oh, I heard some groans for that one. Like, oh, the places that you just dread. And I mean, like, I get the renewal thing like 3 months in advance, and I'm like, no, not dealing with that for a long time. We're putting that one off. These are the everyday situations that require patience for us. They require, specifically, if we look back at the definition, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay. That's really what we're talking about in everyday situations. It's not so much trouble or suffering. These are not that deep. It's delay. It's the ability to deal with the things that put me behind my schedule, the things that impede on my time and what I want to accomplish. That's the everyday patience. Saul struggled with this. He struggled with tolerating delay. If you look back at verses 8 and 9 of the passage that we're in, it says this. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. Okay, so 7 days is on schedule. Everything is running beautifully. All right, the agenda has been set. Get there, camp out, hang out 7 days. Samuel shows up. We do the offering, and boom, we're ready to fight. So the 7 days seems like a long time, but that was in the schedule. Okay, I can handle a long time as long as it's scheduled, as long as it's accounted for, as long as it's planned for. So Saul's great. 7 days, we get there. Okay, everything's good. And then at the end of 7 days, Samuel did not come, and the people were scattered. So 7 days, everything is good. At the end of 7 days comes, Samuel is not there, and the people are starting to freak out. The agenda has been messed with. Things have been tinkered with. And Saul doesn't handle it well. Saul is not our example today of how we want to tolerate these things. He shows us that when we get upset, when we get impatient, when we press, I love that the scripture says that, if we look there, he offered the burnt offering, but he says that I forced myself. In verse 12, he says, so I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. I pushed through and did it anyway. And we know that bad things happened as a result. Saul would eventually lose the kingdom because of his impatience, his inability to tolerate delay. Now the next two types of patience are the deeper ones. Some of you, when I mentioned patience, your head did not go to Starbucks. It did not go to the DMV. It went to much bigger things. Much more serious things. And I call this one big picture patience. Some of you have been waiting on things for a long, long time. Some of you are trying to be patient in a season where maybe you've been wanting to have children and it hadn't happened yet. And so you're having to be patient. You're having to find patience to keep waiting and keep waiting and keep waiting. Maybe it's a sick friend or a family member. And they've been sick a long time. And you just keep praying and waiting and praying and waiting. And you're struggling to find patience in that situation. Maybe it's a sin problem. Maybe it's an addiction that you've been fighting for a long time. Maybe nobody even knows about. But you've been fighting and fighting. And you've fallen down and you've gotten up and you've fallen down and you've gotten up and you're getting impatient. Lord, when are you going to take this from me? When is this going to end? That's a different kind of patience. It's not just delay. It's where we really get into the trouble and the suffering. How do we find patience? How do we find peace and joy? How do we accept and tolerate trouble and suffering over prolonged periods of time in our life with peace, and with joy. The third type is this. We talk about this a lot at Quest. Everything comes back to relationships. The third type is relational patience. Maybe it's people that you need help being patient with. Maybe it's certain relationships. Maybe it's your spouse that you need to find some patience for, that you haven't been getting along. There have been problems, major problems potentially, that have been brewing for years, and you're struggling to find patience to stay in the relationship. Maybe you're like me, and it's your kids, and your kids are just really testing you. I love my children. They're amazing, but they test my patience. And so relationally, I have to keep refreshing and renewing every day, going, okay, let's start over. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's friends. Whatever it is, it's people in your life that you, that when I say patience, you go, yeah, that's really where I need help. So those are the three areas that I want us to consider. And so then the question just simply becomes, well, what do we do? How do we handle it? Yeah, those are great, Brad. Thank you. I do need that. I do need to experience more patience in my life. I want to be able to tolerate these things with joy and with peace. How? How do we do it? And I think the Lord has got some good things for us today. I think he's got some help for us, and I hope that you'll feel the same way. I'll start with just one simple phrase. It's this: patience comes from perspective. Patience comes from perspective. I think this is most easily understood as we look at the first type of patience, as we look at everyday patience, the everyday things that we encounter in life. When we're sitting in the drive-thru and it's taking too long, what will help me in that moment? The answer, in my opinion, is perspective. It's beginning to see things as God sees them. It's beginning to see beyond the moment and beyond myself and being able to see the situation around me. I think if we can begin to not take ourselves so seriously and our own schedule so seriously, we can begin to see in those moments that, whew, it's okay. When we can take a step out of our own selves for a moment, I almost imagine like being able to like zoom out. Like, you know, you can do that on Google Maps. You can get very close into a particular point, but then you can zoom out and all of a sudden you can see like seven states. That's almost how I see this part of my life, is if I can just zoom out a little bit and see the big picture, I'm just in line for coffee. The world is not ending. It feels like it. It feels like it, but the world is not ending. If this takes 7 minutes instead of four, it's going to be okay. Life is going to move on. But do you guys get this with me? I can get so thrown off by that. Those 3 minutes can really just shift my entire day if I let it. Those few moments that it costs me to be in that line for a little extra time can completely derail the rest of my day if I don't have the right perspective. If my perspective is my schedule matters, what I have to accomplish matters, these people around me don't matter, will they just hurry up, then my whole day can be thrown off by something as simple as that. It takes perspective. We've got to be able to zoom out. And to go even further in this, I think it helps us to dig into this biblical definition of patience. How is God patient, and what does it mean to say that God is patient? We looked at that biblical definition as a God-given restraint. And it's where we get the word long-suffering. If you look up the word patient in the Bible and you dig into the root of the word, that's where you usually end up, is this idea of long-suffering. Does that sound fun to anybody? All right, if we do a sign up for long suffering, anybody jumping on that list? Okay. No, that does not sound fun. That does not sound like something I want in my life or something that I want to enter into. But it says, when it says that God is patient, it is saying to us that God is long suffering. He will endure suffering for a long time. Why? Because he loves us. So I want to show you this verse, and this is really where we're going to kind of camp out for the rest of our time. And this verse is in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And it shows us one of the places, One of the places where God is called patient, that was interesting, says this: the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, there's so much in this verse. I just look at, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. Some of you, that's why you're here today, is you just needed to hear that. Because you have convinced yourself that God is just slow. Like, he's just taking his time. I've been asking him for this for 3 years, for 5 years, for 10, maybe 20 years you've been asking him for something. And you have just decided, God's slow. Maybe he'll get around to it eventually, but he apparently is not that interested. He's not in a hurry, that's for sure. He's slow. No. He's not slow. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he is patient toward you. But he is patient toward you. He is long-suffering with you. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but I read that and a part of me really breaks inside, because I begin to think of my own life. I begin to look at the things that I have done and the things that have been done to me, and the just the wealth of experience of life, whatever, the bumps in the road, and I can see over and over again, time after time, the Lord's patience in my life, how he has suffered for a long time on my behalf, how he's used restraint in my own life. There are so many times when I've blown it, so many times where I've sinned, where I've messed up, and God's been patient with me. Have you ever felt like you got away with something? Like you did something and you really kind of felt like you got away with it. Nobody's ever gotten away with anything. Okay. Maybe you feel like you've got away with something. And here's what I want to say today. We were worshiping in that last song. I really felt like the Lord just kind of spoke this. I hadn't planned on saying it. But for somebody, this apparently is the case. I don't want you to mistake God's patience for ignorance. I don't want you to look back at your life and see the times when you've gotten away with it. The times when you've sinned, where you've done someone wrong, where you've told a lie, where you've done something to gain your own advantages, and it seems like nobody knows. It seems like you got away with it, and you go, either God's indifferent or he's ignorant. Don't misplace that. God is not indifferent. He is certainly not ignorant. But what he is patient. He is willing to wait. He is willing to restrain judgment. He's willing to restrain wrath and wait. Why? Because he wants everybody to reach repentance. He wants everybody to turn to him. He wants everybody to get that opportunity to come back to him. The opportunity to respond to his love in our lives. He's not ignorant, but he is patient. Has he been patient with you? Have you seen the Lord's patience in your own life? Can you look back and see times where you go, yep, I blew it, and it could have been way worse. I know I do. I could have ruined a lot of things by now, but the Lord has done some major shielding and restraining in my life. So why do I tell you that? Because here's the deal. In order for us to thoroughly give patience to other people, in order for us to be patient, in order for us to sit in the line with joy and go, it's no big deal, in order for us to accept and tolerate the wait for a child, or the wait for a wayward child to turn around, or the wait for a spouse to turn, in order to tolerate and accept that with joy and peace, we have got to understand the patience God has had with us. He is so patient with us that he was willing to give his own son. He was willing to withhold wrath from all of time and wait until the appointed time to put it on his son for you and I. So all the wrath that I have earned in my life and will continue to earn, because I'm not perfect yet, I don't know about you, all of that he restrained and he held and he put it on Jesus. That is where I find the ability to be patient. And it's not perfect by any means, but I try to refresh it every day. Lord, you've been incredibly patient with me. So I, in turn, am going to do my best to be patient with those who are around me. It's true. You're going to see this theme throughout this series. As we talk about these fruits, they're not things, we talk about them as gifts of the Spirit. And I almost don't even like the word. Because here's what I tend to think. Maybe this is just me being greedy. But what I tend to do is I hear gift and I go, especially it's my birthday, y'all. So like, and I'm like, gifts, yes. Gifts are things that are given to me for my good pleasure and enjoyment and use and consumption. Like that's what a gift is for. Like you want to give me some money, I'm going to go spend it on something for me. I'm going to enjoy that gift. But these gifts of the Spirit are not those kind of gifts. They are not gifts given to us to hold on to. God, you've been so patient with me. Thank you. I'm just going to soak in your patience, God. It's amazing to me that you have put up with all of my junk and you just restrain and you hold back in your amazing love for me. God, thank you. Stop bothering me, son. Thank you for your patience. God, I love you. Oh, you are so patient. Get back in your room. This is what we do, right? I know it's what I do. That's not it. God's patience is not a gift to hold on to. So I said it this way. Patience is not meant to be possessed by you. It is meant to pass through you. This is how we find patience. It's not... Like all of these things, these are not things that we muster up inside of us. Like, okay, today I gotta be more patient, today I gotta be more patient, today I gotta be more patient. I feel really impatient right now. Like, when we try to build these things up and well them up inside ourselves and white knuckle them, it is so ineffective. I find myself falling over and over again. And then I'm impatient with myself. Why can't I get this right? Oh my gosh, I thought I'd had this figured out by now. I mean, I've been saved for like 15 years or so. Like, I should be perfect, right? No, because I keep trying to make it happen. I keep trying to muster what only God can give. And so it is in this, when I spend time with Jesus and I understand and I revel in the patience that he has shown me, and I glorify him and I worship him for the patience that he has displayed in my life, not ignorance, not indifference. He sees it all. He knows it all. He knows every mistake I've made, and he is patient with me anyway. When I understand that, then I can look to the people around me and go, you know what? God is patient with me. He's patient with you. So I can be patient with you too. So what would it look like if we got this, if we understood this? What? Sorry. How would Facebook change if we got this? Facebook is just an example of our impatience because we can just say things immediately. We don't have to wait for anything. Man, if something happens to me, I can jump on there and I can put it out there. All right, handle that. How would it change if we understood how patient God has been and we extended that same patience to be them online or in our own lives? How would our homes change? How would our marriages change? If I keep in front of my own face and I keep at the front of my thoughts how patient God has been with me, I think perhaps then I can look at that spouse and go, I'll be patient. I love you. God loves you. God is patient with you too. Don't say that directly because that sounds condescending. But you can think that through. I love you, my wife. God loves you. He is patient with you, and thus I shall be too. Maybe think those things, but say it a little differently. How might our kids be changed? You've heard me talk about it. This is my number one conviction in this area. My number one conviction is, man, I've got to be able to live out more patience with my children. I've got to stop expecting a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old to act like 30-year-olds. Although the 8-year-old sometimes acts like a 30-year-old, and then I'm going to act like an 8-year-old again. How would that change? If we will just understand that God has been so incredibly patient with us. And that patience is meant not to just sit with us, not to hang out, not to be a gift, to be consumed, but is meant to pass through us, to the people around us, to the situations around us, the relationships that we have.